Morning, everyone from Burbank, California. Let me read to you a wonderful verse. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people that he chooses for his inheritance. Lord, we praise you today for the power of your love and mercy, your unfailing love. We pray your blessing upon all those watching today. We thank you for the United States of America. We thank you that you are the one who is in charge of everything that's going on. Help us today to know the purposes of God in this day and season. And bless this worship time in your holy name. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Glory. Praise his holy name.
Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Jesus, 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 I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.
Lord, we long for You. I long for You. I was glad no one came up to give a prophecy. I thought there's times when the presence of the Lord is speaking to everybody. And it's all about Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. We'll receive communion, but I think we need to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus again. I don't know if you sang the whole thing, but if you added to it, it'd be fine. But I just want to wait on You, Lord, and tell You, my heart longs for God. You're able to do in just a few moments what nobody else can do. And I ask You to change my heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Change me. Change us. Melt us. Mold us. May Your love win. May Your truth win the deceitfulnesses of my heart, pride, fear. You know better than I do what my problems are. I don't want to have any other idols. I don't want any idols in my life, in my heart. I thank You today that we're going to receive communion, which we want to partake of You. I pray that it, every time we take it from now on, that it means more to us every time. As You open our eyes, open my eyes, Lord, to see You. Open our ears to hear You. I want everybody that, part of us and all Your kids, to fulfill the first commandment before we leave this earth, to love You with all of our heart. That's my prayer. It kind of bothers me. People ask, what's Your vision? I don't have a vision. I only want to do His will. The will of God is that you become like Jesus. That's why I preach how to live in Him, all those things, you know. Everything else is second, third, fourth, way down the line. But we want to see Jesus, Father. We're like those Greeks. We would like to see Jesus. That You would open up our eyes. Communion is one of the ways we can see You better as we partake of You. Do this in remembrance of You. So praise the Lord. So go ahead and get that for us.
A friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to give everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what peace.
I feel like welcome to Sunday school. It's time to go back to Sunday school. I never went to a Christian Sunday school, but it's time for everybody to go back to a Christian Sunday school. Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? A little child up to him. He says, unless you humble yourself like this little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Won't do it. Only children get to come. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, as I said before, we believe Paul wrote this, but this is so holy to me, the blood of Jesus. And I think the church has a lot of repenting to do about it. But it says in Hebrews, I didn't give you this, but it's Hebrews 10:19 if you want to put it up there, but I'll read it slowly. Therefore, brothers, sisters too, really, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. This is a mystery, and yet we do it by faith. But it says that we enter the most holy faith place by the blood of Jesus. The only way you can do that is for the high priest to anoint your conscience, which he's done. To cleanse your conscience from works that lead to death, that you may serve the living God. It's a supernatural act of the high priest of Jesus. He is the high priest. And he cleanses your heart. That's why Paul said many of you are weak and some have gone to sleep or some have died because you've taken communion in an unworthy manner. So we just receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus and to allow him who searches our hearts, right? And it's incredibly important that we recognize the high priestly ministry of Jesus. It's what he's doing at the right hand of God. And it's something that some people think they can do it. But it's by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain that is his crucified body. Isn't that right? It's his crucified body by which you are able to go into the most holy place, and you are able to go if you come as children. And so we want to come into the most holy place by a new and living way through the curtain that is his body. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Let's let that happen at times too, right? When we were singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus the first time, their Lord was doing something so kind in correcting and adjusting my heart, and I'm so thankful to you, Lord, as our high priest, as the Holy Spirit given to us to move in us, change our hearts inside out. Only you can do it. And I pray you do that today for all of us, that we can love you and bless you more than ever before. So, Lord, you said, do this in remembrance of me. And we are remembering that it was your crushed, broken, crucified body that opened the way for us to go into the most holy place, where you, the high priest, prepare us by the power of your blood to go into the very presence of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we bless you today. We receive this little portion as a symbol of your body. But you said, you didn't say it was symbolic. You told those guys, this is my body, broken for you. I accept that, and I praise you for it. Lord, you said, you didn't say it was wine, or of course in this case it's juice. You didn't say that, though. You said it's my blood. So I accept that too, that your blood can cleanse me like nothing else can, make me a better person, a better Christian, father, minister, friend, servant of God, all the things that we want to be, a better mother, grandmother. It's all right here in the cup. And we thank you today for the incredible mercy and goodness of the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I didn't know that what was going to happen for several reasons today because it was so short, but I felt a call to arms. We have a special guest speaker today on the video. Do we have that ready? And because he said what he said the other day, I took it as a call to arms. And then we found out that this morning the governor, or actually I guess it was last night, but I didn't hear about it until this morning, that the governor has taken a different stand. But at least praise God for this man. Can you turn that up?
At my direction, the Centers for Disease Control.
Make sure it goes back to the beginning with all their
clapping. At my direction.
Okay, great. I'm glad they clapped, though. That's great.
Thank you very much. At my direction, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is issuing guidance for communities of faith. I want to thank Dr. Redfield and the CDC for their work on this matter and all the other work they've been doing over the past what now seems like a long period of time. Today, I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon governors to allow our churches and places of worship to open right now. If there's any question, they're going to have to call me, but they're not going to be successful in that call. These are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue, go to their mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. The ministers, pastors, rabbis, imams, and other faith leaders will make sure that their congregations are safe as they gather and pray. I know them well. They love their congregations. They love their people. They don't want anything bad to happen to them or to anybody else. The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now. for this weekend. If they don't do it, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less.
Amen. You know, when the kings of Israel turned to the Lord, the whole nation would turn to the Lord. You know that. Days of Ahab, that was another story. But when we have a man who, you have to realize, you know, a good portion of America thinks he's equal to Hitler. Even Christians do. But it's so strange that God could use him. He can even use me. That's the way I look at it. If he can use him, he can. Thank you so much for that. But I just wanted to pray, and then Robert's going to come up. Where are you, bro? Come on up here. I'm going to pray for the military. You remember? You didn't forget yet, did you? But we're going to pray for America. And I'm going to ask the Lord. You're going to ask him. The other day, we had a prayer meeting. Yeah, put your... There it is, brother. And yesterday morning, Robert actually set up these songs. And the Holy Spirit came on me. And I know I've said these things before, but it's a whole other ball game. The love of God came on me, and then it was trailing behind it was the hope of God. And this is what he said. I'm going to resurrect the USA. That's what he told me. I'm going to resurrect the USA. Now, it's not that I wasn't hoping and praying, but it's different when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it was because of his love. And trailing behind love was hope to give us all a favorable expectation. That's what it means. So we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray. He's, of course, the commander-in-chief. We're going to pray for this nation and for the protection. And also, you know, it would be not only military, but first responders and all of that too as well. So go ahead, bro. You pray for us.
Lord, we are so glad that your hand is on all of us. We are so glad that you promised to lead us and guide us according to your will. If we'll just submit our will, submit our heart to you, and seek after you with everything that is within us. We commit our city, our state, our nation into your hands, Lord, and pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we so much, Lord, are just so eager, so wanting to be a part of what you're doing. We pray now, Father, then that you would have your way individually with each one of us, corporately as the gathering place, and far and wide, have your way with us, Lord. We pray for the military that you will be with each one, be with each family. We don't know where they all are, Lord, and what they're all doing, but you know, and we ask protection over each one, protection and your love over each one, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can gather here together today, Lord. We know, Lord, that this is and has been a disruptive little time we've had here. Some of our lives were disrupted way more than others. But we know, Lord, that your word teaches us that there are very destructive times coming. And your word says, many will fall away. Your word says, the love of most will grow cold. We don't want to be in that group, Lord, because we want to know your heart. We want to trust you. We want to be close enough to you that we will never be offended by anything that you choose to do on this earth. And that we will stand firm because you give us the ability to stand firm to the end and be overcomers and conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, I'm going to invite someone up who didn't know I was going to ask them to come, but that's Jenny. She happened to be Chaplain of the Year in the United States Navy. Chaplain of the Year. That's not just 12 people, you know? It's not just a few. I don't know how many that she had to, were possible, but here she is. What year was that, Jenny?
A few years ago.
That's good enough, Jenny. Why don't you pray for us?
Lord, we're grateful for the arms of service for this government, for our government, the government of the people. And Lord, we thank you that you have set aside a portion of the people of this nation to go into harm's way. And to stand in places that most people have no idea that there is a representation of this nation around the world. And we give you thanks, Lord, for those who are standing in the gap, not only in prayer, but literally standing in the gap. And we pray great strength in these days, not only for your active duty military, but for those who have gone before us who have fallen. And in this Memorial Day, we remember them. We remember the great sacrifice that has been given for this nation. And so, Lord, we remember them now. We remember them today and in the days ahead for the great building blocks of this nation has been great sacrifice so that freedom can win out. We thank you that above all, you give us your liberty. You give us your freedom. But help us now today to step into a new place of what it means not only to honor you, but to honor those who have given everything to make all things possible for this people and this nation. We ask your mighty hedge would come around this nation. An insight that would come to those in places and positions of service that would allow us to come into that place, not only of greater freedom, but as Chronicles speaks of, to come into a place of healing. We ask healing for the nation and for all of us, and that you would keep us safe and under truly the shadow of your wing. Bless you, Lord.
You know, on Monday night we started, honey, you want to come up next. On Monday night we started a class on Constitution. You can watch it with us. And one of the things I learned last week is the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, they actually believed that there was a great possibility that every one of them would be hanged. And if you've ever known what happened to them, about 20, well, many of them went bankrupt. Many of them lost their families, their farms. And just remember that the what we call the father of the United States of America was George Washington, and he was a general in the army. He had to create the whole thing and fight the greatest power on earth. So we must never forget that. Started out with a war, and we'll have to fight to keep our freedom that they gave us. Amen.
God, wow, this is overwhelming. Missed you all so much. Ooh, sorry. So good to see you. I know next week is our official opening, but thanks for those that just kind of jumped at the last minute here for Keith and Ron and Julio. Moved everything. We had a screen here. Everything was in the middle. Moved it all back yesterday. Thank you so much. Ooh, wow. Yeah, missed you guys. Thank you. I think he's going to renew, you know, our hearts to be able to experience the sweetness of what we took for granted. He's got a great plan. You know, Robert, when you were praying up here as a Vietnam vet, you know, I just feel that the Lord said, it doesn't feel like it, but I am putting inside you, all of us, a steel backbone. Lord, we want that, so we will pay whatever price is necessary in our lives, Lord, to serve you, to serve this nation. And we thank you for a steel backbone that you are inserting down our back. We will no longer waver, but step up. I know so many have, but even more, Lord. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. You know, I need Kleenex desperately. Can I have my purse? Thank you. Boy, just gets me just real quick because our, you know, my grandfather was in World War I. My father was a B-25 bomber pilot in World War II, flew 62 missions in Europe. And then our son was a U.S. Army Ranger. And we had a speaker here. Well, Joe's been out. How many years? I don't even know how many years now. But we had a speaker, Paul David Harrison, come, who really kind of began to activate us in being aware of angels. Some of you remember. And we were actually meeting down in Alvera Street, believe it or not, at a little church there. And so he began to teach on angels and began to just kind of build faith in our hearts. And he said, now I want you to walk around the room and just, if you sense an angel, to just stop there and just kind of wait and just, you know, tune in kind of. So I'd never done that before. So I walked around and I felt so strongly to stand over at the side. And that there, and as I waited, I began to realize I didn't see anything with my eyes, but the eyes of my heart, I did. And he was a very tall angel dressed in military uniform. And he saluted me. And this was right before our son was going in to the service. And he said, I've been assigned. I'm going with your son to Iraq and Afghanistan. And man, whew. That sustained us. That was so real. And he faithfully brought our son back. And I just can't thank him enough. But Lord, we want to thank you for the sacrifice of those that didn't make it back. In all these wars, Lord, the sacrifice, their blood cries out. And we thank you for their service, for their great love that caused them to lay their lives down for their nation. And Lord, we thank you that you're putting a steel backbone inside us for the time that's ahead, Lord. You're prepping and preparing us. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, Rick already mentioned the Constitution Alive class that's tomorrow night. Kim is hosting it. Kim Nguyen, it's absolutely tremendous. Really encourage you to, yeah, amen, to attend. It's free. It normally isn't. It was actually filmed in the Hall in Philadelphia, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. It's tremendous, very stirring. But you need to go. You can check in the announcements, and you can go there and register. They just need you to register first, but that's free, 7 to 9, and then you'll be sent a Zoom link so you can join us. It's really good. I think it's 6 weeks. Am I right? Six. I think it's 6 weeks. So 5 more weeks. They just laid the groundwork. You can hop right in. So I want to mention that. The Zoom groups are all still meeting. They've been just incredible, wonderful. And then we have our fellowship. It's right. We have the fellowship this evening. Do you still have that, Roger? Yes. Time of fellowship at 6 o'clock. It's now bring your dessert for a slice of fellowship. I just love that. So that's going on. And then want to mention next week we will have 9 o'clock prayer for those of you that want to come. We're going to try to do our social distancing in the larger room, children's room back here. So if you want to come from 9 on, we'll be hosting prayer. So, wow, wonderful. I can't really look at you or I'll start crying again. So anyway, I'm going to pat. What do you want me to do? I'm going to mention the offering. Okay. Yeah, we're going to take an offering today. What do you want me to mention? Texting? You can still sit there and text. We have many ways you can give now. So whatever way you want to give, the ushers do have baskets here. So you can grab an envelope in front of you. You know the drill here. And please print clearly. And a credit card and cash can go in here. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, whatever. Thank you. Thank you for your faithful giving. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Don't laugh when you say that. I'm serious. You know, I had mentioned some things, but I'm going to put those on hold, the two of you that I had mentioned to say something this morning. I feel I'm supposed to go into something right away. And I'm going to, it'd be Acts 1:3. I'm going to explain to you something that was explained to me. Extremely helpful for exactly where we're at. During the time of Passover, it was pretty radical here and we're still in it, really, with the coronavirus and all of that, in Passover. And during that time, Jesus, for 40 days, talked to his disciples about this. After his sufferings, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, it's very interesting. They thought that he meant that Israel was going to be restored and so forth, and he said, the Holy Spirit's coming. The Bible says, Romans, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, just as an example today, you're receiving an offering, that's right. And just as an example today, when the presence of God began to come in, and I hope it was on you as well, I could feel it corporately, but he began to move in me, I thought, we can't have prophecies now. God is doing something much deeper than prophesying. He's now beginning to move sovereignly, okay? And I had actually had three experiences with that in the last 2 weeks. I'll briefly mention that, but they were what I would call kingdom dynamics. Dynamic is a word that means a movement or a force. a movement or a force coming from another source. In other words, something moves something else. Dynamics, I'd have to look it on my phone again, exactly the wording, but the Lord kept saying to me that the dynamics, God dynamics, the kingdom dynamics are coming. So Andrea last week shared on Tuesday night, I think it was, that the Lord had moved on her sovereignly and come to her and healed her of something deeply. Okay? Now, we've seen things like that off and on over the years, but when I had three in a row, which I was only involved in two, but she had that experience. So I called her. I said, now look, just explain it to me again, because I'm looking for the sovereign act of God, where he heals you himself. Boom, he comes. Now, it's happened to us, most of us, many times, in small ways, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and so forth. But there's a dimension when I'm looking for it. I've seen it periodically. 30 years ago, I saw it regularly when I went to Malawi. And the Lord began to move sovereignly. I would speak and people would be sovereignly healed. Now, I've seen that here and there before, but I kept thinking, Lord, when are you going to do it? You know, I know that you healed them all. You can do it. And so she said that, and then someone close to me called up and said that she was going through something that she was really concerned about and so forth and so on. And so this was all on the phone. I prayed for this individual. And I talked to this individual some days later, and I said, was that broken? It was a bloodline curse. Was it broken? Yes. Okay. Then the other day, I was praying with someone else on the phone, and according to this individual, they went through a major deliverance on the phone, but it was relatively effortless for me to be involved. I remember when I was in Malawi that I saw instantaneous, within 2 or 3 minutes, everybody would be healed. And I can honestly say it was so effortless, I knew that it was, I mean, I first of all, I had, in a sense, I had nothing to do with it, but he did flow through me, okay? So I'm saying that today I had another one of those little sovereign works where God was adjusting me, and I was thinking, I hope nobody comes up and does anything, prophecy or anything, because God is doing something in me right now, and he may be doing it in many others. I don't know what happened to you. But I'm looking for the times of the Holy Spirit coming in and doing what no one else has been able to do to you. And the reason it's going to be coming is because we're coming into a season of the kingdom of God. So we'll go to Daniel chapter 2. And let me tell you what Daniel chapter 2 says. And then hopefully I'll be able to understand this. Now, Daniel chapter 2 is a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, had. He had the largest influence around the world of any human being that's ever lived. Nebuchadnezzar. God gave that man, the Babylonian king, an end time dream, vision, of which Daniel, the holy man of God, was able to explain. So let me tell you what the dream was. He basically saw a statue in the form of a big man or whatever. And he says in it that, this is what Daniel says, there was a head of gold, which he later on said, that's you. Then it goes down to silver. Then it goes down to bronze. And then it goes down to iron. What does that mean? Well, the most costly, you know, the biggest thing is to be gold. And it goes down from there. Do you understand that? So this is a progression of 4 world kingdoms. Listen carefully now. 4 world kingdoms. We know that the initial one, of course, was Babylon. Then it was Medo-Persia. It was the Greek. And then it was the Roman. Now listen how this starts out. In the area of Nebuchadnezzar, he was unequivocally the ruler of the world. Now, he didn't effectively rule the whole world, but he was the world ruler. You couldn't in those days. You know, I mean, I don't even know if they knew China existed. I have no idea. But God said that he was the world ruler, and he told his own people, you better submit to that guy, put him in charge. So Nebuchadnezzar was the world ruler, but he was the most glorious of all the world rulers. He had the head of gold. The next one was silver, okay? That was Medo-Persia. That was very powerful. That's Cyrus, okay? In the Persian Empire and, you know, Medo-Persia and all of that. So you can see Babylon is there. Then you have Medo-Persia, which eventually Islam came out of it. Then you've got the Greek, all the Greek influence. Then you've got the Roman influence, okay? Now, the Roman influence lasted 503 years, and they had several Caesars, but there was only one Caesar at a time. You understand? So listen carefully. All of these four kingdoms were world rulers, and at each time, during a time, there would be one major guy, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, then it goes down to Cyrus, then it goes down. But it's always one. There's one guy who's in charge. There's one, as it were, king, okay? Now, I'll read that out. I want you to see it. But something happens, and something comes from heaven, a stone that comes from heaven. Now, Jesus said when they asked him, "Who do you guys say that I am?" They all, you know, said Jeremiah and one of the prophets and stuff. And Peter gets a revelation that Jesus turns to him, and Jesus had called him Peter. He changed his name. Peter means a little stone. And he had said that earlier because Jesus knew what was going to happen, that Peter would be one of the major apostles that would help lay the foundation of Jesus. And so he says, well, you're Peter, you're a little stone. But then he says, upon this Petra, upon this huge big rock, which was a revelation of Jesus, he says, I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is Matthew 16. But anyway, I'm just telling you that to let you know that Jesus called himself and his church a rock. We are all part of that rock. We're the body of Christ. But it's Jesus. It's a stone. Okay? So, here, with that in mind, we'll just read through those verses again. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms silver. So you see the value, as it were, goes down. In other words, every kingdom gets weaker. Are you with me? Okay? The arms of silver, its belly and thighs were bronze, and its legs were of iron. Its feet, now we'll talk about the feet, but there were four kingdoms. The feet is part of something at the end, which Allah will explain in a minute. So it says the legs of iron and the feet partly iron and partly baked clay. Okay, let's go down to the next. While you were watching, a rock was cut, not by human hands. It struck the statue, the feet of iron and the clay, and shattered them. Okay, is that what it says? Now, let's go to, did I give you verse 43, I think, it or 42, right? 41, yeah. Go up to 40. Can you do 43? Can you switch up there? I may have messed up there, Rob. Did I not give you 43? It says in 43, it says, as the toes were partly clay and partly iron, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly weak. And just as you saw the iron mixed and bake with clay, so will the people be a mixture and will not remain united any longer than iron mixes with clay. Is that what it says there? Okay. Now, what are we saying here? Listen carefully. There were four world kingdoms. They got weaker, 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 and weaker. This is another kingdom that is not a world kingdom. It is the last kingdom, which we're now seeing to be multiple nations together. Can I say it this way? It's something like the CDC, the FBI, China. Are you saying they're all together? No, not at all. I'm saying they will never mix. But they all have a desire to control and rule. The CDC has been ruling the world from the United States of America, right? Is that true? Everybody had to submit. You understand? Do they really rule the world? No, they do not rule the world, but they've been able to effectively, quote unquote, control the world. Is that true? The FBI, we know some things that are going on there. China, were they able to do it? Now, Russia and China, they both want to rule the world. Is that true? So does Iran. They want to rule the world. Is that true? But you see, they're like 10 toes, and they're all mixed. They're never going to get together. None of them are ever going to rule again. Only those four kingdoms were allowed of God to rule again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you that the Antichrist system is always going to be among that last group, which is partly clay, partly iron. They're never really going to get along. Is Satan going to be able to get connected? Yes, he is. But that is not the coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is coming from heaven that shatters and hits in the days of those kings. Does it say in verse 44? Just as you saw the iron mixed with clay, It says, in the times of those kings. What kings? It's not during the king, Cyrus or during, Caesar or during, Alexander the Great, right? Or the Caesars and so forth. It's not then. He's saying in the time of those kings. In other words, it's not a kingdom with one king. It's a kingdom of conglomeration of nations. Or you could say, huge international corporations that want to control the finances. Or you could say Pornhub that has 75 million hits a day. These are all people, all entities that are wanting to control people, and they have worldwide impact, but they will never, ever come together. Are you hearing me? I'm saying this over and over so you get something. I'm telling you, that's what Satan gets to come into. That's what Satan gets to come into. Good luck, Antichrist. That's what I say. Not that he's not going to do it. Not that not something's going to happen. And not that people won't take the mark of the beast, but there will be another mark of those who have the mark of God on their forehead. I'm telling you that there's a kingdom coming that's going to be broken and fragile. But there is another kingdom that is coming. Let's go down. In fact, it talks about here. Let's go down to verse 44, the end of 44. It says, at that time, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. Look, all of those kingdoms, those four kingdoms, were very powerful, but they're gone. Their influence is still here. Babylon's influence is still here. It's still alive, as it were, in, the book of Revelation 17 and 18 and so forth. Come out of her, my people. We know the Greek-Roman thing. We know all about what's come out of Medo-Persia, Middle East and so forth. They want to take over, right? Okay. But none of them exist as a ruling power now. And now what's left is these 10 toes that it's a group of nations and a group of people. They all want to rule the world. And they're never going to get along. And Satan will come in that. The Antichrist will be entering into that reality. Now, he'll have supernatural powers and things like that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling you this, that unless you realize that the eternal kingdom is coming at the time of those kings, then you'll never have a true biblical eschatology of what's really going on. And the true biblical eschatology is there is a rock that is coming down from heaven. You want to know what that rock is? It's Christ, it's Jesus, but it's a revelation of Jesus at the end of the age. Here it is, example. In Revelation chapter 1, it says that they got an image of Jesus. The Jesus that John saw, John knew the Lord. But this Jesus that he saw was mega different than what he had known before. He was able to put his head on his breast. Jesus had emptied himself and became a man. But now he is the resurrected, glorified God Almighty. Amen. That Jesus is the one who's coming. That's why it says all the nations will mourn. Why? Because then it's too late. I'm telling you, our God is too small. Our image of God, our image of the end times is all wrong. There were four kingdoms. God allowed them all. The last one will be a big mixture. They'll never get along. But his kingdom is coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down from heaven. I don't know how it does, but I know the other day, about 10 days ago or whatever, it was early in the morning, I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I start to see that rock coming down. And this is the first thing that started happening to me. Oh my God, it's the kingdom of God. And I began to realize, inside of me, I was submitting to his lordship. Why? Because the king's rule was coming. It's coming down to earth. I felt it today. I felt the pure sweetness of God dealing with things inside me. I wanted him to. I want him to even more from now on. But the rock is coming down. It's going to smite those things, all of them. He's going to destroy those kingdoms. But even before he comes, and I don't know how it all fits in, but you've heard me teach it many, many times. He's sitting in heaven until his enemies are made his footstool. I don't know how this all plays in.
I don't know how God's going to do all this. I don't have all the exact timing of anything. I just know there's an eternal kingdom that's coming down from heaven. Jesus talked to his disciples for 40 days and whatever. I was going to say 40 days and 40 nights, but that was the days of Noah when it rained. But he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's telling me, you better tell them the kingdom of God's coming. And Rick, it's going to be overwhelming, overwhelming of any other kingdom that's ever existed. I'll hit it in its feet and smash the whole thing. So all I know is this. You happen to be on the winning team. You happen to be in the right kingdom. It's the only one that's eternal. All of the other ones are temporal. And I think many of us preachers, and I wasn't too much involved except I thought I was going to be raptured at any moment. And when I got saved in 1976, that we were taught, oh my God, that's amazing. I don't even, why even brush your teeth? You're going to be raptured in the next week or two. That's the way it was. I mean, that's the way it was. It was just too much. Everywhere you got involved, it was like this, you know. But it's like, no. I'm not coming until my enemies are made my footstool. I'm going to have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm going to have a people who are moved on by my lordship, submitting to me fully and totally. And through them, I will reign on the earth. Before I come, my troops will be willing in the day of my power. So that's my message today. I want you to be able to pray this. You can check it out yourself. But those 10 toes are not a world kingdom. They will never rule and reign the earth. They'll be given authority, but Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the presence of his enemies, according to Psalm 110. Don't forget it. So I'm telling you, is that the Lord is going to start moving upon the earth in a mighty and awesome way in these coming days. It's the kingdom of God. And the message will be, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And listen carefully. I'll finish with this. I thought I was finished. Last week I taught, and I was told many of you probably didn't understand me. And this was the deal. The earth was given to mankind for 6,000 years. You understand that? It's a lease. Adam's lease. 6,000 years. Seventh day, Jesus is coming. He's going to rule and reign. Okay? That's it. That's it. So when Paul was preaching and he went into Asia, he was wrestling with powers of darkness. He was in, what day was it? It was the fourth day. Do you understand that? 4,000 years, 2,000 years ago. This is what I believe the Lord told me, and you can check it out yourself, see what you think. He said, when Paul went into Asia, all of Asia heard the word of God. And he was able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bind that spirit over Asia. But Rick, it's not bound today, is it? Is it? Well, the answer is no. But toward the end of the age, the Lord is going to bring judgment upon the powers of darkness that are deceiving and destroying the human race. What Paul did in those days was bind it. The Lord, according to Isaiah 24:21, in that day saith the Lord, I will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. Those that are connected with those evil powers, they will all be punished by the power of God. How's it going to be? Very simple. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin because they don't believe in me. They will be convicted of righteousness, their need of righteousness because it comes from above, and of judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to be released to bring the condemnation and the judgment of the devil. The Holy Spirit will do it through the body of Christ. That's what's going to happen. This is John 16:8-11. So I think I'm really done now. And I want to just take a minute to pray. Do you understand what I was saying today?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying today? I want you to read it yourselves, but there's only 4 kingdoms that are allowed to rule the world, and they're all gone. They all are symbol in that because they still, their culture and so forth still has a major influence. Don't get me wrong. But that last one, the toes, they'll never make it. They'll never get together. That's what Satan's kingdom is going to be. He's going to have a real mess. But there will be another kingdom and another people living in a separate kingdom on the earth at the same time. And that will be ruled from heaven. Amen. So I'm going to pray. And they always tell me to close, you know, appropriately. And I'm going to do that now. I pray, Lord, for those who are online. I pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come in great power in these days. But you've already ordained it, so I just want to be in agreement with you that there's a rock, as it were, coming down from heaven. It's the influence of the rule of God upon the earth. I pray, Lord, for you to help us all, hopefully, to understand what's going on, that you'd pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would bless us. And we do pray for anyone listening. They say there's several online, and I pray that you would come into contact with the living God, all of you. Lord, I pray that if there's people out there that need to know you, that they would wake up like we all have to some degree. We are waking up, that you're the living God. And you said in your word, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. We'll cut it.